Dr. Crockett, members of the administration, faculty, and staff, we are pleased to present to you the class of 2028, and we are excited to welcome all of the new students into the greatest student body in the world.
It is our prayer that this year, we as Bruin Nation will stand united on the gospel and grow together as we learn, love, and lead.
Thank you so much. Tonight we begin our 97th year at Bob Jones University, and it's great to have all the new students and freshmen, as well as our faculty and our returning students, and even some special guests tonight. We are going to be led in prayer for our invocation by our provost, Dr. Gary Weir.
Would you please stand with me as we pray together, and then remain standing after we pray for the affirmation of our university creed. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we bow before you now in your presence as the great King of Kings, as the eternal God, and as our Heavenly Father. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and his sacrifice on the cross for our sins, making it possible for us to be rightly related to you, a holy God. We thank you for each life that is here tonight. And again, we acknowledge you as the giver of life. Thank you for each student. Thank you for each faculty member and each staff member. And I pray as we begin this new school year, as we reflect upon you and your goodness and the grace in our lives as we humble ourselves before you, which strengthens us, that you would calm every fear and every anxiety, that you would give us your peace, which passes all understanding, and that you'd help us to grow into the image of your Son. Thank you for your power in our lives. And we pray that you'd be honored by everything that takes place this evening. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
I believe in the inspiration of the Bible, both the Old and the New Testaments, the creation of man by the direct act of God, the incarnation and virgin birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, his identification as the Son of God, his vicarious atonement for the sins of mankind by the shedding of his blood on the cross, the resurrection of his body from the tomb, his power to save men from sin, the new birth through the regeneration by the Holy Spirit, and the gift of eternal life by the grace of God. You may be seated.
I'm reading from God's Word this evening, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth.
Good evening. On behalf of the Student Leadership Council, I am honored to welcome you all to the opening exercises of the 2024-2025 academic school year. We are thrilled to have each one of you here tonight. First, I want to extend a warm welcome to our returning students. To the sophomores, You have thrived during your first year, and now new responsibilities and opportunities await you. Carry your enthusiasm with you into this year and see what remarkable things God has in store. To the juniors, you are now halfway through your journey here at BJU. You've achieved so much already, so keep up the excellent work and continue pursuing your calling with dedication. To the seniors, congratulations on the diligence you've shown so far. As a class, we've not only learned, loved, and led, but in May, we will be leaving. So, cherish these last moments and memories that we have with each other. Second, I want to extend a special welcome to the new students of BJU, especially the freshman class of 2028. We are beyond excited that you have chosen to begin your journey here at BJU. We are eager to get to know you and to grow alongside you. Freshman year can be daunting as you embark on this brand new adventure, navigating the uncertainties of being in a new place, making new friendships, and adjusting to life at BJU. All of these feelings are normal, and I assure you, every one of your classmates is experiencing similar uncertainties. And so my advice to you is to embrace being comfortable in the uncomfortable. I remember sitting in your seat 3 years ago, unsure of what the next day or two might bring, as I adapted to new opportunities, new people, and of course, the college academics. Questions like, how early do I get to my first class on Wednesday morning? Who do I sit with at the evangelistic services? Or where do I find my textbooks? Swirled around in my head. Don't be afraid to seek out answers. Some of your best friendships, as Ashlyn mentioned the other day, may arise from spontaneous interactions that you have with fellow freshmen. Looking back, some of my closest friends came from opportunities and experiences that took me out of my comfort zone. So embrace the uncomfortable and trust God to guide you, not just at the beginning of this year, but throughout your journey at BJU. As we observe the world around us today, we are reminded of the pervasive sin and destruction in the world. We see it in broken relationships, endless injustices, and the persistent suffering that plagues humanity. Sin, often subtle in its beginnings, can rapidly escalate, distorting and destroying what God intended to be beautiful and good. It's like a creeping darkness that overshadows the light, leading to a world filled with pain, confusion, and hopelessness. As we enter the season of college, the world offers countless paths to pursue success, happiness, and fulfillment. However, these pursuits, though tempting, will lead to emptiness rather than true satisfaction. Yet, we as believers have a profound opportunity to influence and impact the lives of those around us because we possess something the world cannot offer, abundant life. In John 10:10, Jesus says, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." This promise extends beyond a rich, joyful life characterized by peace and purpose here and now. It also assures us of eternal life after death. In Christ, we are lifted from the brokenness and decay so prevalent in the world today to an eternal life filled with beauty in the presence of our risen Savior and Heavenly Father. The Student Leadership Council is excited to continue developing this theme of abundant life throughout the year during student body chapels, ignites, and other events. As believers, we can experience this as we know and follow Jesus, our source of life. So as we embark on this journey ahead of us, freshmen, trust me, there will be many unexpected challenges and difficulties that will arise, whether academics, balancing work with creating new friendships, or maintaining consistency in your walk with Christ as you adjust to the new cadence of college. Obstacles will emerge. Similarly, returning students, faculty, and staff, this is a new year that presents both new opportunities and new challenges. Yet, we can rest assured that the promise of eternal, abundant life in Christ supersedes these difficulties here on earth. So it is my prayer that we, as students and the entire university family, live in light of the abundant life that Christ Himself has promised us.
All new students, please stand. For over 95 years, Bob Jones University has served God's people by providing an education centered on Christ and grounded on the authority of Scripture. Generations of individuals have embraced the calling to be a student in this place and are now serving Christ around the globe. With God's help, will you commit to following their example by cultivating the habits that lead to a lifelong pursuit of learning, loving, and leading? You may be seated.
My esteemed colleagues, I've been asked as the most senior full-time faculty member to deliver a charge this evening to you, the university faculty. The Apostle Peter challenges his hearers and readers to be stirred up in remembrance. He desires that they be, as one commentator has put it, sincere, that is, clear and self-controlled in their thinking, focused on what matters without any weak spots obscured by worthless ideas. I desire tonight to stir us up in remembrance. Remembrance of a dual perspective to live by. We are often controlled by what's been called the tyranny of the immediate. And I do not intend to demean the reality of deadlines, class hours, project grading, and all the other facets of academic life that constantly loom over us. We're coming off a time of preparation for this school year. We've been working on laying the foundation for our courses, creating syllabi, planning for projects, meeting new students, mentoring advisees, interacting with colleagues, and employing imagination in designing courses and outcomes. But is this all that we should be concerned with? National speakers warn us that we must not put our ladders of instruction up against the wrong walls. This is an intriguing analogy that highlights our investment of time and effort, but putting what we're doing in the wrong place, and maybe for the wrong reasons. The Bible warns us, to shift my metaphor, about the destructiveness of locusts, a literal term in the Bible, but figurative in my use tonight. As one contemporary puts it, we inhabit a world infatuated with falsehood, dishonor, vulgarity, ugliness, and wickedness. Living in an age of half-truths, alternative facts, and outright lies. Our perspective must be shaped by the bedrock truths of the Word of God, not the shifting currents of political dissent, threatened financial collapse, fluctuation in national enrollment patterns, and other issues that promote a context of anxiety and uncertainty. What are we to do? Beyond the perspective of the near at hand lie two layers that define a long-range perspective. Younger teachers are often encouraged to take a long view in relation to what students think about them. It is possible to put so much emphasis upon the immediate that we neglect the permanent. In other words, it is not so much what our students think of us now as what they think of us 10 or 20 or even 40 years from now. From an academic standpoint, we strive to give our students the tools for the kind of scaffolding that careers demand. As we all know, it is extremely rare for a graduate to work at the same job with the same tools for his or her entire career. Studies remind us that graduates will, on average, and for whatever reason, change jobs 5 to 7 times during their working lifetime. A recent study found that 3 out of 10 persons, for a variety of reasons, We're changing jobs annually. Over a career of teaching, you will likely receive words of appreciation, not only for your course content, but also, even more likely, for an extended kindness or personal mercy. If you're like me, you may not even have a memory of what a graduate would share. Recently, a former student of probably four decades ago shared an experience she still remembered from her freshman year. She had come to me with a problem that allowed me to extend a kindness in my supervisory role. Her words warmed my heart as they reminded me of how a little kindness can have such a long-range effect. Our founder, Dr. Bob Sr., often spoke of clipping coupons. Well, that's an outmoded phrase today. Originally, it referred to a coupon that bondholders would present for an interest payment. He was referring, I believe, not only to words of appreciation from former students and within our lifetimes, but to an event that yet lies ahead of us all. One day, we will stand before our Lord and Savior and receive an assessment of our works. So there's another layer in this dual perspective I encourage us to remember. That is the eternal perspective. We labor in the present with expectation of reward. One of the most startling statements I have encountered in the book of 1 Corinthians occurs in chapter 4 at the end of verse 5. Here is the whole verse. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. And then shall every man have praise of God. As one of our colleagues put it so powerfully just over 3 years ago in a baccalaureate address, we serve for an audience of one. We minister in the now with an understanding that we labor not in vain. We live in the present with an eye on eternity. We thus serve with a duality of perspective. Clara Scott declares in her most famous hymn, written just 2 years before her untimely death from a carriage accident, "Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Open my ears that I may hear voices of truth thou sendest clear. Open my mouth and let me bear gladly the warm truth everywhere. Open my mind, that I may read more of thy love in word and deed. What shall I fear while yet thou dost lead? Only for light from thee I plead." Thank you.
Will the faculty and student support staff please stand? God has called us to serve and disciple this generation of His people. We do this by providing a Christian liberal arts education purposely designed to inspire a lifelong pursuit of learning, loving, and leading. Through your example and instruction, will you strive by God's help to inspire and equip these students toward their lifelong pursuit of learning, loving, and leading?
We will.
You may be seated.
Thank you.
Thank you for that beautiful singing. And before or as we begin, I want to recognize some very important people here tonight, and that is all of the family members. We want you to get your exercise. So if you don't mind standing again, parents, siblings, aunts, uncles, any family members of our student body who are here with us, if you don't mind standing this evening, let's give them a warm welcome. We are so thankful for each of you, and you are the reason these students are here today. Some of you siblings are excited. You're going to get a room upgrade when your sibling goes to their freshman year. Where are our freshmen? Do you mind standing again this evening? All of our freshmen, if you'll stand and remain standing, welcome to the class of 2028. This is an exciting time for you. You were born in an exciting year. You were born the same year that Twitter was launched. So you were learning to talk while your parents were learning to tweet with the rest of the world. Nintendo Wii was also launched that year. So finally, your generation had a valid excuse to say, I'm getting exercise even while I'm playing video games. That was actually true. And Pluto was still a planet when you were born. So at least for a few months before it got downgraded. So you've literally lived through the downsizing of our solar system. So that's pretty amazing. And so I think it's fitting that your freshman year is all about exploration. Academically, socially, spiritually, you're going to encounter new ideas, new friends from different places around the world, maybe even new gifts and abilities that you didn't realize that you had until you got pushed in a college environment. And there will be times, as Johnny said, where you'll feel overwhelmed. That is perfectly normal. That's natural. I remember I was the oldest. I was the first one in my family to go to college. And I remember watching my parents pull away. And this is before cell phones. So this is back in the day of the Pony Express and telegraph, not quite that old. But I remember thinking, this is a little bit scary. I'm all on my own, and yet it's okay. It's okay not to have everything figured out, as you're still looking for where buildings are and trying to get all the acronyms and figure out what's what. Some of you, I think, were going to Rodehaver and are coming here to FMA and not to Rodehaver. I'm a freshman, too, so I'm in the same position you guys are right now. So I'm learning all the new things as well. And the reason it's okay not to have everything figured out is because guess who does have everything figured out? God does. He knows exactly where you're going to be a week from now, a year from now, a decade from now. He knows what your major is finally going to be on your diploma when you walk across this stage. He knows what your career is going to be. He knows whom you're going to marry. Maybe they're here tonight in this room. He knows all of those things. And so if he's the one who brought you here, and he has, then he's going to provide all the resources that you need and all the resources that I need because, again, this is my first year too. So thank you, fellow freshmen. You may be seated. All right, where are the sophomores? Sophomores, would you stand? A little bit slower. They got a little lazy over the summer, but no, there are a lot of awesome sophomores. Most of you were actually born in the same year that YouTube was launched. So you've grown up with endless cat videos and viral challenges. You have never known a world without social media. And yet, I would say, don't let that stop you from making real, genuine friendships and relationships during these college years. This is the year of college when things start to feel really intense. Your freshman year, you're kind of figuring the lay of the land, figuring out how everything works. But now you start to go a little bit deeper into your major, and you can start to feel lost. You can start to feel what they call the sophomore slump. I changed my major my sophomore year at least one time. So again, that's perfectly natural to have that part of the process where you are now in a stage where you're kind of reassessing your goals and your interests. And so I would encourage you, look for internships, try EXPs, try different things that will give you a taste of your future career. And at the same time, don't forget to take care of yourself spiritually, physically, mentally. Make time for activities that will bring you joy and activities that will help you to recharge. So thank you, sophomores. You may be seated. All right, where are the juniors? Are there any juniors in the house tonight? Okay. Juniors sitting all over. This is the year when the stakes really do start to feel high because you are now past the halfway point. So you're finishing almost that final lap, and you are deep into your major. Maybe you're even already considering what's going to come next. Are you going to apply for grad school? Do you already have some job opportunities lined up? My junior year is when I met my wife, so no pressure, but maybe we can bring back speed dating. It works for me. Maybe it could work for you. Dr. Pettit said the seniors lead the campus, but the juniors run the campus. So you're the guys who make this school year work. You make this place go. So own your new role as the ascending leaders. Own the influence that you have and lead well. Thank you, juniors. You may be seated. All right. Well, I think that's everyone. Is there any group that I missed out there tonight? Seniors. Will you stand? I guess I was having a senior moment. Becoming a president might make that happen to you, but this is the class of 2025. And so you are almost to the finish line. This is a big year. For many of you, you have some kind of a capstone experience, your senior project, a recital, an internship, student teaching. Most of you have already started thinking about life after graduation. You've learned, you've loved, you've led. Hopefully you're not dead at this point. And many of you are already applying for grad school. You're lining up jobs. Maybe you've already secured jobs. Some of you are preparing for marriage. Others of you are hoping you'll be preparing for marriage by the end of the year. Again, speed dating is something we're going to bring back. So our desire is to help you take that next big step. This is a family. BJU is a family. And so the faculty, the staff, the administration, all of us like a family recognize that your success is our success. And so we are thrilled for the foundation that you've already laid. We're thrilled for the capstone that you're about to put on that foundation. And we're excited about what God is going to do to use you, to use your life and your calling for his glory, so we want to help you in any way that we can. And also, as seniors, I hope that you'll use your influence this last year to point the rest of the student body to Jesus Christ. Thank you, seniors. You may be seated. For all of us as the BJU family, let me challenge you this year and every year to follow godly examples. We see this in Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. Paul writes to the believers at Philippi, and he says, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so." So when Paul says, "Be followers of me," we look at that and we say, was Paul being arrogant? Was he being proud? No, he's not saying, "Follow me because I'm so amazing, because I'm so cool." He continues, "And mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example." So he's saying all of us who are your spiritual leaders. At the beginning of this letter, he named Timothy. So he's saying, as you look at our lives, follow us as we follow Christ. Now, Paul knew that he wasn't perfect. Paul says, "I am the least of the saints. I am the chief of sinners. But as you see me trying to follow Christ, as you see my life following Christ, then follow me." And that's what I love so much about BJU, because you all are going to be surrounded by godly examples. From the faculty to the staff, from GAs to GLs, to the student life and student care, will you follow their godly examples? Now, Paul gives us two different reasons why you should do that. He says, number one, follow godly examples because following bad examples will destroy you. Verse 18, for many walk, of whom I've told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly. You say, what does that last phrase mean, whose God is their belly? Does that mean that they worship their stomach? When our first son was a baby, his two big sisters just loved to smother him with attention and adoration. And so they would literally start to smother him and pinch him. And we affectionately started calling him Baby Buddha. Because Micah would just sit there with a smile on his face, his little pot belly hanging out over his diaper, and his sisters are literally about to smother him, and he would just sit there smiling the whole time. Is that what this is referring to? Whose God is their belly? No, this is not a reference to worshiping a pot-belly Buddha. This is referring to lust, to unbridled lust, because 2,000 years ago in the city of Corinth, they had the same problem we have today, 2,000 years later, where our culture literally makes lust our God. And so the end of verse 19 says, and whose glory is their shame. So the very immoral behavior that should have caused them to turn red, be embarrassed, feel guilt and shame, they wore it openly as a badge of honor. Our culture does the same thing today. What God forbids, they celebrate with parades and Pride Month. People use social media to promote their OnlyFans page. They become famous and celebrities for leaking a sex tape. Their glory is their shame, which verse 18 says makes them a what in relation to the cross of Christ? An enemy. He says they are enemies of the cross of Christ. And so let me ask you, is it wise to follow them? Like literally to follow their social media or listen to their music or watch their content? What does verse 19 say will happen to these people? It says whose end is what? The end of their path is destruction. So he warns following bad examples will destroy you. And Paul's not gloating about it. He says, I tell you this even weeping. So instead of laughing at bad examples or following them and being destroyed, we should pity them, we should pray for them, we should plead with them to come to the cross of Christ. Listen, everything you do in this life is going to be determined in this life and the next by your relation to the cross of Christ. If you are an enemy of the cross of Christ, you will be destroyed, eternally destroyed. But if you come to the cross of Christ in humility, recognizing there's nothing you can do in your own righteousness, there's nothing in your hand that you can bring, but you just fall on your face in humility before the cross of Christ, where the ground is equal, where all of us, no matter what our background, no matter what we've done, is equal, and you plead for grace, you turn from your sin and you trust Jesus Christ, you will receive his grace. So follow godly examples because bad examples will destroy you. And finally, Paul says, follow godly examples so that heaven will be your home. Look at verse 20. He says, for our conversation, that's the word citizenship. It's the Greek politomai, where we get our word politics. He says, for your citizenship, your politics is where? In heaven. Now, how many of you went out of the country this summer? Maybe you went on a mission trip or study abroad trip. Okay, many of you. So you experienced, I experienced when I left the country, what it's like to be a foreign citizen in a different country. Some of you international students, you feel that all the time because you're in a different country. You feel like you are a citizen of a different country. Paul says here that that's what we are. That if you're in Christ, your politics are not in Washington, they're in heaven. That's where your citizenship is. Verse 20 continues, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are living down here, but he says we should be looking up there. In the Greek, this word look was actually used sometimes of a child standing on their tiptoes waiting for their daddy to come home. So I remember when my kids were little, they would insist whenever I left in the house, whenever I got in my car, they would insist, they would go run to the dining room window and they would start waving and they would insist that I wave at them and I blow kisses to them. Which got awkward a few times when there was a female jogger on the sidewalk who ran into my field of vision. I'm blowing kisses. But even if I just was running a five-minute errand to Lowe's, they always insisted that I go through this ritual. And I loved it because I realized this is not going to last forever. Today, if I were to wave at my kids when they're with their friends and blow kisses, they might kill me tonight in my sleep if I did that. They would not be jumping up and down, waving back at me. But back then, the only thing that I loved more than blowing kisses to my little toddler fan club as I was leaving was when I would come home. And I would push the button, and the garage door would go up, and usually as the garage door was going up, the door from the house to the garage would burst open. And one of my girls would come out first. They'd be racing each other to run out first and start yelling, "Daddy's home, Daddy's home." And then my little one-year-old boy would toddle out as fast as his chubby little Buddha legs would take him and wrap himself around my calf. And I can hardly think of a better feeling in the whole world. That's the excitement that our Lord wants for us to have for his return. That we are standing on our tiptoes, that we are looking to heaven, eagerly anticipating like toddlers when our daddy is going to come home. In fact, Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:8 that there's literally a crown for those who love his appearing. So those of us who spend our lives looking for, anticipating, excited, standing on our tiptoes for his return, he says there's literally a crown for that. In the next 4 years or three or two or a semester of college that you have left, you are going to receive an amazing world-class education. You're going to be so well prepared. Many of you, they're going to start trying to recruit you by your junior year. But we're going to see in the book of Ecclesiastes that if you do all of that work, you make all of this investment, not just in your school bill, but in your college education, and you do that strictly for the purpose of becoming rich or famous or powerful, like Solomon, you're going to feel completely empty. But if you keep your eyes above the sun, and not like the freshman when we were looking up for that freshman photo and our eyes were melting looking up into the sun, but metaphorically, if you keep your eyes above the sun, knowing that your Father loves you, and that he is coming back to bring you home, then your life will be full of purpose and meaning and joy. So yes, we want you to get a world-class education. But even more than that, we want you to live for a greater kingdom because your citizenship is in heaven. So this year, follow godly examples. Follow the examples of the wonderful faculty and staff and mentors around you, just as you have your godly parents, grandparents, and family, some of whom are here tonight. And let's have an awesome school year this year.
As we close tonight in prayer, listening as you all did, we've heard this theme of follow godly examples. And I want us to pray together in that regard. And I was struck by Dr. St. John's example of being kind, and how all those years later, someone remembered that act of kindness when they came to campus. That we are a family, as you heard Dr. Crockett speak tonight. So as a family, let's also pray that we be kind to one another this year. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we're thankful for this new class, the class of 2028. We're thankful for those students who have returned and those students who have transferred. And we just commit this year to you. Lord, we are a family, and as we have been exhorted tonight, may we both be godly examples and may we follow godly examples. And Lord, as we have been again admonished, may we be kind. Lord, the Bible says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And Lord, there's going to be opportunities this year to show that kindness. We can enter the dining common, and we can see someone sitting alone, and we can invite them to join our group. We can see someone who may be struggling in a class, and we may not be struggling in that class, and we can be kind and ask if we can help them. Lord, there's going to be times there's going to be sickness on this campus, and we can be kind to one another to ask if there's some extra help we can be. Lord, there are going to be times people need help finding a place, or just kindness in praying for one another, kindness in smiles as we pass one another. But Lord, may this campus be full of kindness. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.